Well, I bring greetings in Jesus' name this morning also. Thank you all for being here. I have some visitors today. Welcome. Thank you for being here. I know most of you, maybe not quite all of you, well, but a little bit of an apology to Phil back there. My wife thought it might be a news reporter, but you're very welcome. Glad you're here. Is Phil, is Elizabeth your wife's name? Maddox, over here from Warsaw, so make him welcome. My wife came up, thought, is there a news reporter here? So just so we can all be at rest. Just so you're aware that we've been kind of encouraged by Christian Aid Ministries to, for the privacy of families, to not put things like this on social media. I think we all can all respect that because it's a high-profile case, and we don't know the families would respect that, and even our sister Kay here from our fellowship, we trust that things are going well, and she's being kept care by the Lord himself. I trust she is. So. Yeah, well, welcome everyone. Why don't we rise, have a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we stand in your presence with thankfulness this morning, gratefulness, Lord. We have such a blessed privilege to come together on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. We come together to celebrate the risen Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are a risen Lord. You're not like the other gods of the nations, of idols and silver and gold, but you're a living God, and you live in our hearts today by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made for each one of us on the cross, the blood that was shed for our sins, for my sins, and the sins of the whole world. We thank you for that. Thank you for making a way for us, a way of escape, Lord. Thank you for that, for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And this morning, we just want to lift up our fellow laborers that are in Haiti, yet held in bonds. Lord, I pray that you would just continue ministering to them. Lord, they went to share the gospel, and you promise those that go that you're with them until the end of the age. And so we rejoice in your faithfulness that you're meeting them, their needs right now this morning. I pray they would just have an unusual sense of courage this morning and joy in spite of suffering, Lord. Be their strength and their stay today. We commit them to you. Pray for their families here and the staff on the ground there in Haiti also that are waiting, and here and locally also the staff up here for CAM, give them wisdom. We just commit it again to you. We trust you, Lord. We truly mean that. We trust you, that you have everything in your care, and we trust you for that. Be with us now, Lord. Help us to look to you. Lord, we're looking to you and not to man to feed us, to encourage us this morning, to edify us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not even sure this morning where this all will go. Might not be so much of a sermon. Might just be some rambling thoughts and sharing. Going through a time like this, my mind is just there. It's just there. Just with some of the connections we had, I just can't help it. In the morning, you wake up at the night, it's there. If you wake up in the morning, it's there. And just in the day, it's there. And that's good. It's actually a good thing. I'm glad it's there. We should carry this thing on our hearts. A lot of things have been going through my mind here. Of course, the last month, it's a month now, basically a month, and hard to believe, but it's reality. Actually, the other evening, Brother Reuben was sharing a little bit about, after he read up a bit about what we're facing, I think one of the songs we just sang, In Shady Green Pastures, So Rich and So Sweet, God Leads His Dear People Along. This is not a mistake. God has definitely handpicked these people to experience this for his honor and glory. We don't understand God's ways. His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher. But the one verse said, those Satan oppose. And I think we've been aware that this is not just a gang issue or fighting the gang and anything like that. It's the devil. It's basically good and evil, light and darkness is where the fight is at. But I just like to, it looks sometimes like it's hopeless, but I just want to share this morning. This fight is fixed. God is the victor. He will come through in shining, victorious splendor. We might look like we lose a skirmish here and there, but God is the ultimate victor. Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit, and that's just down. He was cast out of heaven. He's on a trajectory of down, going down. And we can rejoice in that. Although he still sometimes, you know, causes grief and sorrow in some ways, he still can't do anything that the Lord doesn't allow. But I think it kind of maybe opened some of our eyes with the things Brother Reuben shared, how deeply that country of Haiti has been steeped into voodooism and, just a wholesale giving themselves to Satan. And, yeah, I don't know that. I might just touch on a little bit. I don't want to give the devil a lot of glory, but when I lived down there years ago, my eyes started opening that, and I'm kind of careful what I share. Just don't want to spend a whole lot of time. Like, I think we should fix our gaze on Jesus, occasionally glance at the devil, see where he's at. We shouldn't be ignorant, but our gaze needs to be on Jesus. That's really where we want to stay ourselves. But I think it's good, like Brother Reuben shared the other evening, that the reality, this is not flesh and blood. This is not U.S. military against gangs. This is a spiritual battle that we're up against here. But we're so thankful the Lord has it in his control. But those things are real. They're the control that as people give themselves, this gang leader, this Wilson Joseph, has given himself over to the evil one. He's actually admitted that. He works for Lucifer. And we kind of think that doesn't happen so much here, and I've seen in other countries, but it happens here too. It might just be sophisticated a little bit more, covered over with other cloaks to kind of make it look not as blatant, but it's we have the same spirit here, but maybe not to this extent, because just things that I had seen there, we saw these little idols by people's houses, and when I first went to Islay, Haiti, that was back in 2000 or maybe in 2000, yeah, like Y2K. It was just on the heels of the charity missions had been there maybe about 7-8 years, and when they entered that area, it was a fight. It was a tremendous spiritual fight, and even when I was still there, there's this one big tree out the end of our drive. We talked about cutting it down sometime. This is kind of where the locals said this is where the demons gather. That's their calling spot, where they call the demons. And those things are real. We think that's just a bunch of, you know, foolishness, but it's not. The people that fear the devil, people that have a fear of these things, the devil piggybacks on that, hijacks that, and he uses especially the medium of fear to control his people. And those things are real. How I can't express how much fear some of these people had. Our next door neighbor was Alfred. He was a witch doctor. His sister was married to a man named Moses, but in French it was Moise, Madame Moise. That was a very common term in our neighborhood. Everyone, the non-Christians, feared her. I remember one day I was at my little room where I stayed on the mission compound. We had neighbors there often, a lot of children. This young child, this little girl, brought me something over. I had bought something, I forget what it was. All of a sudden she heard Madame Moise's voice, and just like a arrow, she was inside, behind the bed, under the bed, or somewhere. And she finally came out shaking and said, Likon Tripitai, which means she can, just really would mean she can gossip or slander, but had a deeper, sinister meaning that she is in control and she has the power. If she doesn't like something, if you're close to the white man or anything like that, that she has the power to do something bad to you. And just the fear that was around people that don't trust in the Lord, it's a very real thing. And just to tell them that it's no big deal, get over it. It doesn't work like that. To realize this is a spiritual battle. And I could tell you a lot of things. Like, I remember the one church service, people coming to the Lord, becoming converted. Some of the questions they would ask, maybe not so much. Here we ask questions about their past. You make sure you have a clear, you confess your sins. You have a clear your slate. But some of the questions they ask, similar to maybe some of what we would do, but remember the one time, the one counselor I was listening to him was learning the Creole, but I could understand. He asked, I think it was a lady, can you fly in the night? I was like, what craziness is this? But they were dead serious. But those things, someone that really gives themselves to Satan can do that. They can, witches on a broom, it's not a joke. So these harmless little practices we have as far as trick or treat, you know, dressing up, I would never do it. It's just not, it's not a harmless thing in my mind. The connection, you start doing some study in the history of all of that. It's not just a nice little activity. I just encourage you to stay away from those things. But because you see those people that are living it out on a day-to-day basis, it's not a funny thing. They're controlled by fear, and it just holds them there. But yeah, the question was asked, can you fly in the night? What is your experience with the occult, witchcraft? How deep were you in there? Were you that deep that you could be here in your spirit, transport yourself somewhere else? And yeah, there was a Haitian lived in New Philadelphia where we met soon after we came back, some of us that had been in Haiti. He was a Haitian. He told us some stories. Yeah, I don't want to go into a lot, but people changing themselves to animals. A cat that was in their room one day, and they tried to kill the cat, and it was just an uncanny, weird thing. They couldn't do anything, and realized later they beat it up, and here a neighbor man was all bruised and beat up the next morning after he came back again. So those, what Brother Ruben was sharing is not just it's not just filler material. It's real. But let's not focus on that. Let it get us down that, oh, this is so big, this is so hard, they'll never get out. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Satan is on the way down. He's been defeated. So that's where we're camping on God's promises. And I'd just like to do a little bit of that today. I just thought I just might share, I think one of my wife's sisters had shared recently some interaction about the question something gets asked, you know, a situation like, we've been praying for a month. What does it avail? The prayers, what are they doing? What's a prayer doing for you? So this morning, it's been a good journey for me. It's been tiresome in some ways for the body. It's a labor, but it's been a good labor. It's been a place to stay. It's been a good place to stay close to the Lord and having your name on the list. You just take your part of the day, and it's just amazing how you can prioritize your life once there's something like this on the table. So that's been good. But like this lady shared on my wife's sister chat there, the question was asked by someone, well, what are your prayers doing? You know, really, what are your prayers doing? What are you gaining was the question. What are you gaining? And this wise lady responded, you know what? I'm finding out I'm losing. I'm losing anger. I'm losing pride. I'm losing bitterness. I'm losing self-control. I mean, the desire for control, things like that. I'm losing these things that I've been battling with. So in others, yeah, you ask what I'm gaining, I'm losing. But we know in the real sense, we really are gaining if we are in those places. So I think even some things came to the surface here amongst us while we're praying that might not have happened as quick otherwise. So let's not be in despair. The devil is on the way down. The fight is fixed. We all know who's going to be the victor. And let's not give up. So it's been good for me. And a lot of times I've discovered being listening on some of the conversations from family calls is so many times when there's the devotional thoughts, we go to the Book of Psalms. What would we do without the Book of Psalms at a time like this? It's such a blessing, such a wealth of comfort, courage, and calling out to the Lord. Sometimes it's like David is, the psalmist is almost complaining to the Lord. Why are you standing far off? You know, are you going to let the enemy run over us? A little bit of that at times, but often it comes through with, he heard me, God heard my prayer, and I've been delivered, then songs of praises. So may the songs of praises never quit amongst us, even now. Songs of praises. terms, especially things I've noticed in the Book of Psalms that I've been going there is like the word of salvation. It means deliverance, salvation, and waiting on God. Trust. Trust is a big thing, too. So, I asked some of the young men, last Sunday we had open time, and sometimes we hardly give time for our young men, I think, in our open time, or we need to encourage them a little bit more, but I thought maybe just good to hear from the mouth of some of them what it's been doing to their hearts this week. So, yeah, if you want to, the ones I asked you from our fellowship here, just want to come up here and just join me here, and if you have a verse or just a promise that's been good for you, or what it's been doing in your own life, a testimony, just encourage you to share. And maybe there's some other young men, you're welcome to join them up here too, and just share. Why don't you just go by age there and share?
Yeah, I guess so. To share just a little bit what God's been doing in my heart in the last several weeks with all of this, I guess probably the biggest thing that has stood out to me is just, well, a lot of it was my time, and it seemed like I never had enough time to do what I thought was important or things around our place or maintenance things, and also, yeah, studying for flying and things. It seemed like I just never find enough time, and I don't know, just in the last couple of weeks, it's more and more been seeing that those things aren't as important as I thought they were, and just yielding that to God and just doing it when I have time to do it, and it can, that can always wait till later. So that's something that God's been doing in my heart, and then also just trusting Him and knowing that He is greater than the gods of this world. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and just trusting Him with my whole heart and not doubting. That's also something that's been just a challenge for me at times.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess for me as well, during this time, it's been prayer is something that I could sense my life was lacking greatly. And just when this all happened, digging in and praying and getting together every evening, I guess that's, it's done something for me that I don't think anything else could have. And also even trusting God and having faith in Him is another thing that this has been helping me. There's a couple verses here in Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 22, says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." And that's also something, just searching my own life and letting God have His way. So, yeah, God bless y'all.
Yeah, I guess I just had a couple of thoughts here. I've been really challenged the last few weeks with just trying to be here every evening. And, yeah, it's definitely doing something for me in my prayer life. I would say it's definitely been a great help to me for me to grow in that area. But yeah, also had a verse here in Psalms 37, a couple of verses actually here. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed." So I was just thinking of these captives, you know, there's a promise that if they trust in the Lord and do good, they shall, verily thou shalt be fed, it says. And then, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And also verse 7 there says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." I also just had to realize that it also brought out some of my flat spots that I needed. Maybe I need to work on some of those. And, yeah,
Also, there's a verse in James chapter 1. Maybe an encouragement for us. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I just had to think, you know, maybe it takes lots of patience because we have to wait so long. But here it says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Is that not what we want? We want to be perfect and entire. And then verse 12 is, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So I just wanted to encourage you with those words there. So yeah, Lord bless you.
Yeah, well, I guess it's been a good time, I guess, the last month or so. It's been doing things in my life, even though it's wearying. But, yeah, I believe God is moving and strengthening my faith as well. I wanted to read a psalm, Psalms 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And so this chapter has meant a lot to me during this time, and I had actually memorized it just a couple days before that we heard that there. Taken kidnapped or taken hostage. So, yeah, it's just meant a lot to me to realize where our help comes from. It says, my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He's the creator. He holds the lives of these men, this gang, in his hands. He created them. He knows all about them. And it says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. You know, we've had some all-night prayer meetings, whatever, and you grow weary and tired, and but we can trust and know that God says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So no matter how weary we become, God is still awake. He's alert and he sees them and he's taking care of them. Verse 5 says, the Lord is thy keeper, the shade upon thy right hand. The Lord's keeping them. And yes, the Lord shall preserve them from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. So we can just claim those verses for them as well, that the Lord will keep them from all evil, and he will preserve their soul. There's also a verse in 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. It says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, yeah, that's just another promise that the Lord will preserve them unto his heavenly kingdom. So, just an encouragement for us.
Yeah, so these past 3 weeks have also been really good for me and my prayer life, just bringing all our cares to God and laying all our cares upon him. And I've also been thinking a lot lately about praising God in the midst of our trials, and because God is good and is worthy to be praised. And I'll read Psalms 100 here. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth, and his truth endureth to all generations. And just an encouragement to keep praising God even in the midst of our trials. And that's all I have. God bless you all.
Jason. Thank you very much, young men, to be open to what the Lord is doing. Maybe there's some other young men here yet, visitors or even younger ones that want to share. Come up here and share. We're just people. God is still God. I'm sure he's doing good things for each one of you. Okay. I want to bless each one that's coming in the evenings. It is somewhat, a labor. But if we wouldn't have it, I wouldn't feel right. It just, something would be wrong. We're not coming together to pray. I know if I put myself in Kay's shoes, I would just have the confidence they are praying for me. They're doing the same thing. And let's keep pressing on. It's my mind went to the phrase of a song we used to sing years ago. I don't even know what the title is, but I just remember one phrase that said that the nearest thing to heaven here is to gather on our knees. And a lot of truth in that. A lot of things can happen together on our knees. It's been doing things not just for the Haitian situation, but even for our own personal lives. And I'd just like to maybe talk about just the matter of trust. Trust. We've been singing over the years, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, trust and obey. But when times like this, when really given the opportunity, it seems that the Lord has been listening for years and years, and finally he just said, okay, I'll give you the opportunity. How is that going to work? And I look back at my life, there's been times when, I can clearly see the Lord answer my prayer, and there was a trust there, but I'm going to be honest with you, many times I've been not faithful. And the initial thought in a tragedy or difficulty, and my thoughts go here, they go there. It's like when Jesus warns us about the last days, when the disciples asked him, what's going to be the sign? We talked about the destruction of Jerusalem and his coming. First of all, he said always, his first response was, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, because there are going to be people coming, saying, I'm Christ. Or they're going to say, he's in the desert, go over there. No, he's in the closet somewhere. It's all on a horizontal level. And that's often our first response when there's something happening. Heard they're kidnapped. What was your first thought? Was it, oh, I hope the government gets them out there. But actually, I think a lot of us went higher. We immediately went to God. But during this process, it's going so long, you're just almost like frustrated at the Biden administration. Why is it just sitting there? We don't know what all is happening. But that is really, maybe we're just looking to the desert or the closet. Jesus said, instead of doing that, he says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. So trust is basically a matter of keeping our eyes upward, looking to Jesus. If we look horizontal, we're looking to the desert or the closet. That's out in the public or in private, anything, but it's on horizontal level. It won't bring us deliverance. It'll just bring us frustration. It won't be the true Christ. It says that Jesus is basically saying that principle. That's deception. Keep your eyes upward, looking to Jesus. So that's basically, in a nutshell, what I believe trust is. I mean, it'd be interesting to hear what all your definitions of trust is. What is your... One thing about us Americans, we tend to have these lofty explanations how we explain something, but David just expressed it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Word pictures, reality. What's your life story? That'd be interesting just to go along and life experiences, trust the things that you've learned, maybe things you're trying to learn. I forget who it was. One of my friends or some acquaintance, the mission organization they were preparing for, one of the training processes was to learn trust, was in your small group, you learned, I guess, to be together and to pray together and trust each other. And one way to kind of really flesh that out, you had to take your turn, stand on a bar stool or some elevated point, and you'd let yourself fall backwards. Like, I'd be here. I'm trusting on Sill and maybe Simon here to catch me. So that's I thought that's a good example of trust. Can we, a free fall, it's like when you someone in the parachutes, he just jumps out of launch himself out of that airplane backwards. Nothing is there. I mean, nothing is there except gravity is going to take you down. It takes a lot of trust in that parachute. But to me, that was a good picture. There's some organizations that are wise enough to realize places they're going. There's going to be times when there's going to be a free fall beyond, outside of our control. And that's where really the rubber's put to the road. How much am I trusting? Excuse me. I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 32. It says Moses, after the end of his life, his testimony of how God led and took care of them, this came out of his mouth. He said, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And the story is, an eagle teaches his little eaglets how to fly. Sometimes they have to nudge them out of the nest. It's probably terrifying for them. They're up high, but that mother will never allow them to crash land. Doesn't matter how low they go, she'll always be underneath and catch them with her wings. Underneath are the everlasting arms, the wings. Bear them up. There might be some eaglets that might be brave enough to try on their own, jump out, but others need nudged a bit. So for all we know, the Lord is preparing us for some other things in life yet. I believe this is not just this Haitian situation, but I believe every one of us in our life, if we walk with the Lord, excuse me, are serious about... Ethan, can you get me a glass of water? Just the warm water, please. He's going to take us at our word. And we might be sitting in the nest and he's say, "Yeah, I can fly. Did you ever fly?" "Oh, I know all about it. I can fly." But maybe we've never really flown. And for some of us, this might be just a greater experience of flying that we've ever had before. Really trusting that they are okay. God is in control. God is in control. Am I trusting? So what I did, I just wrote down, I'd say most of the verses in the book of Psalms that have the word trust in. Maybe not quite all, just kind of a medley of verses about trust. And I just like to read those. It just really helped my heart, calming my own heart, putting it back in a good place. I have to go there daily. If I would allow my horizontal view to kick in, I just like to get on a plane and go down there myself. I feel I know my way around Port-au-Prince. I could find him. But that's just a horizontal view. Thank you. I have to trust the Lord. He is in control. He doesn't need Elson Miller's little help down there on the ground. He doesn't. Best place for me to be is on his arms, everlasting arms. So I'm going to not even read the references. I'm just going to read this. There's quite a few. I didn't even list the verses that talk about confidence and hope and so forth. Just the word trust. There's a whole lot more that would be tied in with the same thought. But time wouldn't allow it. It was David's testimony of his life. First one. Well, first I just want to mention, as I thought about trusting and waiting on, and the word salvation, I found it interesting. The first time the word waiting and the word salvation is used, they're using the same verse in Genesis 49, the Old Testament, when Jacob was giving his blessing to his 12 sons, kind of a prophecy blessing. He says, "I've waited, O God, for thy salvation." I thought it was interesting. Those two words are together. I've waited for your salvation. They are waiting for salvation. We are waiting for their salvation. And I think some of you are facing things in your personal life. You're waiting on his salvation. It's not a wasted time of waiting. But you'll notice also, as I read these verses, so many of them talk about putting my trust in him. I put my trust in him. So I have my Bible. The Bible is in my hands. But if I just go down, I put it in Nathan. This is basically what trust is. The things that we've been looking to, maybe our own ideas, our horizontal level, other avenues of deliverance. We are basically what he is saying by putting, we're relinquishing that, or we're shifting that from our own control, giving over to God. He's totally able to do it. I think he can do it quicker and better the sooner we all do that. We have a lot of, like I say, we've had a lot of songs. Maybe that's why the Quakers, or was it the Quakers that, or the Shakers that didn't sing a lot? They said people do so much lying when they sing. They have all these lofty songs of congregation, but when it really hits life, where's it at? It's a big challenge. Let's not quit singing. Let's actually sing more. But those things are challenges. It's been a challenge to me. How much, where am I in this free fall backwards? Will something be there? Underneath are the everlasting arms. That's what I want to leave with us today, that he will catch us. He will catch them. He will catch each one of us as we commit it completely to him. Them and us also. I just know, as you're trying to live the Christian life, every one of you faces things like this. Maybe not to this extent, but we all have our times. We just have to, I'm done with my control. Lord, you take it on. I can rest in that. Psalms chapter 2 is where I'll start. It says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Show them marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. And it's right after that, I think, the verses that keep me as the apple of thine eye. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots over here, some in horses over here, that horizontal view, but we will remember the Lord our God, the name of the Lord our God. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. In thee, O Lord, I do put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as to turn aside to lies. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, but thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. I will abide in that tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion, for thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his his wings shalt thou trust. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. They that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul desolate. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. But I trusted in the Lord. In thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my God, my times are in thy hand. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, he is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. So that is most of the words of trust in the book of Psalms. There'd be so much more about confidence and hope. Don't have time for that. But I'd just like to look at two of the Psalms here that I read, maybe just a verse or two, but in chapter 26, verse 1 says, Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. And as I read this, I had to think of a psalm here, in Psalm, I think, is 73, the psalm where the psalmist got his eyes off the Lord. He started looking horizontal, looking here and there. I think we know this story. I'll just read some of that. Here in chapter 26, it says, I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. I have a sure footing. When I trust in the Lord, there's traction there. There's a footing there. Chapter 73, he starts in, such truly God is good to Israel. Verse 1, truly God is good to Israel. Even to such as are of a clean heart. But then he says, but as for me, that's not my testimony. I guess it's not what he had been experiencing. He says, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Evidently, he was not trusting. He got his eyes off the Lord. Because he was looking around. He was looking here and says, because I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands of their death. He had a wrong view of what reality. He was envious of how good it's going for everyone else. And he's stuck with his problem, his situation. It's not fair, Lord. He was just looking at everyone else is free. They have it nice. It's not fair. He was looking closet and to the desert. He's just kind of a psalm of complaining here a while. Then it says, verse 4, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. And think about this gang, violence. It just seems they're covered with a garment of violence, giving themselves over to the devil. And that's as long as you keep looking at the situation, this is going to be the response here. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Even as others are starving, not enough fuel and food, you're sure they will have access to some of this food sources. They just do because they're controlling it. They're corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. You don't do as we say, we'll shoot you. That's why how they're talking. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And in other words, they're saying, we're in control of this thing. Where is God? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocency. For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. It's almost like this is a lost cause, Lord, trying to live for you. It's just trouble. It's not fair. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He's trying to take it in. Verse 16, it says, when I thought to know this, trying to process this, think it through. When I thought to know that it was too painful for me, it's just not fair. It is so deep. This is so hard, Lord. Until verse 17, until, we should put a comma behind that, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Then it talks about how the Lord actually has put them in a slippery place. First, in chapter 26, it talks about, I trusted in you, therefore my steps will not slide. I got traction, I got sure footing. But here he starts in, my feet were almost going, almost slid into over that cliff. Reminded me, when I thought about this, reminded me that years ago, had a friend, still have a friend, we're both a little bit older when we got married. And so I'd help him with some projects. Sometimes he built log cabins for a while. Remember the one job we were on, he had this old pickup. When trying to get around, it just, the tires were bad. He called them baloney skins. And you truly have baloney skins for tires, it's hard to get around. Especially with two-wheel drive and it's a little bit slick, there's no way of getting around. That's where you need to go to trail tires, is that right? Yeah. But I just thought about that. Baloney skins. That's basically what we have when we start looking around, get our eyes off the Lord. We're not in the trusting mode, that frame of mind. We're basically trying to get around on baloney skins. And it's a slippery process. We slide here and there. We're all over the place. Until we go into the house of the Lord, until we go to the tire shop. And the greatest difference, once you have a four-wheel drive with brand new tires, you get around. And I think that's what he's saying. The picture I got, this is this trust, for me, just to be refreshed with trust, is like I felt like I had new tires again. Things make sense. I can trust the Lord. His arms will catch me. If there's a free fall, I trust in him. So I can just encourage you all and trust you. Trust, you will have the courage to keep pressing on and maybe go to the tire shop occasionally. Just read through the Psalms. Read through Scripture. It's like it puts grip on your tires again. Your feet will not slide. You keep your eyes on the Lord God himself. So I think that's all I have. I was just so encouraged to go through the Scriptures, being washed by the Word of God, trusting him. His Word is true. His Word is true. And his Word is true. We have to believe that. And we want to believe that. It's like the one Psalm said, our fathers trusted in thee. We saw how you delivered. Is God any different? He's not. He still wants to deliver. He still wants us to believe his word, and he will. Let's purpose to keep trusting him.